Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Bears, Ravens coming up at noon. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris. This is a treat. We don't have one. We have two in studio.
This is really a treat.
Two Dan Hamptons in studio. Yes. Number 99, Hall of Famer Hamp. It's good to see you.
Great to see you, Pete.
I feel like we text all the time. I never get to see you.
No.
Well, I will tell you this. It's always a treat to be on the air with you. But, you know, I got to tell you, a little discouraged by the record this year. You know, 1-4 is 1-4. You can't cut it any other way. But always a lot of fun to talk about the Bears, and you told me you're going to have a special guest on in a few minutes. I can't wait to talk to him.
We can't get a hold of Plank.
Yeah.
I don't know where he is.
Well, I don't know. You know, any guy with two titanium shoulders, you just don't have any idea. You could probably track him.
Right.
You know, from the metal in his body. You know, Little Dan.
Can you
and
introduce
I always,
your guest here?
Little Dan.
Little Dan. How you doing, brother?
Not bad.
Man, he's not little anymore.
You know, we do the morning program with Canellis over at Fox, and then we make our way over here, and then Rick Geezer always, you know, brings
your
us
producer.
In the building. But we essentially what we do is we prepare the room for His Majesty Ed Obradovich, you know, and his arrival, usually about quarter till noon. Uh-huh. And so we have to go up and make sure we get the sandwiches from Mr. Sub straightened up. So I've got a lot of busy work to do.
You're busy. They put you to work.
Yeah.
I've never met OB. I've heard him a million times on the radio. I've never met him. Yeah.
Well, you ought to. You need to. And maybe we'll send little man out in the lobby to head him off and bring him in before he goes upstairs. But, you know, let me just say this. Part of the reason that I have been so unbelievably lucky and being a part of this city and the sports landscape for, you know, quite a while, there's so many good things about it, but meeting people like, you know, Ed Obradovich and Dick Butkus and Gale Sayers and all these legends, I mean, it's a treat. It really is. And, you know, at the end of Fox today, Lou brought up, you know, something about playing in Baltimore. I played there my fourth year, and it was Ditka's second game as a head coach. And we had started the season in Detroit on the road. We lost in overtime. Then we come back, we practice, and we fly to Baltimore. We go into overtime. Okay, we play the overtime. Now we go into second overtime, and we lose on a long field goal. That's when Ditka went nuts and punched the locker and – and broke his
second
hand.
His second game, that's how passionate he was. Okay.
Okay. How, you know, his first game you go into overtime and lose. The second one you go into double overtime and lose. So, I mean, as great as his coaching career was, it really got off on a real bad start.
Well, do you want to introduce number 46 on the phone with us?
I don't think he needs an introduction, does he? He's the one and only Doug Plank, that not only was he, you know, he was a special teammate, but Buddy Ryan named, you know, the most infamous defense in maybe NFL history after this guy.
Right.
So the Plankalope, how are you, my friend?
Dan, guys, how are you doing?
We're great, great, great. How's everything with you? We were just going over. Doug, were you still on the team when we went to Baltimore and lost in double overtime and Dick punched the locker?
You know what? I was injured that week, Dan, but I'll definitely remember.
Dick was too.
I think that was kind of a statement of what we were going to get with Mike and, you know, just how passionate he was. And, you know, people say, well, why was he different than all the other coaches? And I'll just say this, the first meeting we had out in Scottsdale, I don't know if you remember that, we had like a mini camp, and he got everybody together, and he mentioned actually the Bears were going to go to the Super Bowl. And I had never heard any coach ever in my life in Chicago say we were going to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I did know we could buy two Super Bowl tickets at the end of the year, being a player. That's the only
for $80 a piece.
We had Super Bowl.
Did that tell you something? I know we joke about it, but does that tell you something about Ditka, that he was focused and he wanted to win?
I mean, I really think, you know, the years that I was there, I started with Jack Pardee, and God bless Jack. I mean, and he did everything he could before he went to Washington. And Neil Armstrong came in and brought Buddy Ryan. But really, without Mike Ditka being there, and Dan obviously knows this much more than I do because he was there up through the Super Bowl run, I just don't think it would have happened. I mean, I think mixing those two personalities together, you know, although it was, you know, water and oil or whatever you want to call it, I mean, it didn't seem like those two guys would mix very well. They concentrated on each side of the football and just created a team that people are still talking about.
It worked. It worked. Doug, I'm going to have you hold on a second. I'm going to take care of some business, and we're going to come back and talk to you and Hamp, okay?
Of course.
Doug Plank on the phone with us, number 46, number 99 Hall of Famer Dan Hampton in studio, who will be on the postgame show this afternoon around, you guys go on at 3:15?
3 till 6.
3 till 6, sponsored by Mr.
To
Sell.
Mop up after this victory in Baltimore.
It's 720 WGN. In studio with us, we grabbed him before he went upstairs with his son. It is Hall of Famer Dan Hampton on the phone with us, number 46, Doug Plank. And let's first talk about the timeout. Fourth down, fourth and one. We were going to go for it. We talked about, we took a timeout. This was Monday Night Football, by the way, and I know Hamp's going to go off in a second, but I'm going to ask Plank first. Doug, what happened there? They take a timeout. It's fourth and one. Then they send the punt team in, and then the punt team runs out, and then the offense goes in, and then they have a delay of game.
You know, I think that's a power struggle, and I would have loved to have seen what was going on the sideline, whether it was actually on the sideline or on the headphones, but that's coaches really not being prepared for every situation. I mean, whatever you want to say about Bill Belichick, and I'm not saying they don't have some disagreements and arguments and things like that. Everything like that would be discussed and reviewed prior to the game. And those franchises that just let everything just happen and react to what was happening on the spot, that unfortunately reflects a lot of teams in the league. And to me, it just shows that they don't have a power structure where that would have already been determined. And if that situation occurred in the game, the decision was already made.
Hamp, do you blame the head coach?
Well, I beg to differ from my dear friend Doug. I think it's a brain cell struggle. You know, it's John Fox on a weekly basis invites defeat by being totally unprepared, totally outcoached. And I used to say this, you know, and that's the bad thing about Green Bay. Not only do they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, but they got a almost Hall of Fame coach. We're beat before we get on the bus to go up there. And that last week, well, there's case in point. Think about this. It was fourth and a yard, maybe a little more. Okay, well, hey, guess what? Be a big boy, pull your pants up and get it. Well, instead of doing it, well, our inability to make a decision creates a situation where now we got to call a timeout. And then now all whatever sense of surprise and you being prepared is lost. Now they can talk about blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, Fox, you know, chickens out and then runs the punt team on. And then, oh, well, I already called a timeout. And now I got to be a bad, you know what, and go for it. And then we have to get a delay of game penalty. I mean, that right there was a 3-minute exercise in why John Fox should not be a head coach, at least not a head coach in Chicago.
I love when you get worked up. I love it.
Well, I'm sure we'll see more of it today.
Doug Plank, what'd you think of our new rookie quarterback?
I thought overall, yeah, I thought he did very well. But it goes back to what Dan's saying. He could have his play could have been enhanced so much by better play calling, and I think they could have put him in better situations. There was many people that around the country that I talked to that loved the trick misdirection play that they had down near the goal line. But you know, just remember this: that there's plays that work all the way from the goal line out to the middle of the field, and it's a matter of having coaches that are either willing to call it, or can call it, or that have put it into a game plan. And it's I'm not disagreeing with Dan one bit. I mean, I think most coaches, having been a coach myself in the National Football League, their decision making is for them to extend their jobs and come off looking like they know what they're doing.
Right.
A lot of times it isn't even the right thing to do for the team at the moment, but it's the right thing to do for the coaches, and because many of these guys don't want to make a decision that's going to put them in jeopardy of being seen as an incompetent coach.
Is Fox done at the end of the season, Hamp?
I don't know. Planker, you remember when we used to ride to the airport and our offensive coordinator was being driven by his wife, and we'd pull up alongside him, he was drinking wine out of a bottle as we're going to It's the same feel I get with watching John Fox on the sideline. He's always mucking with his headset control. It reminds me of Kenny Meyer, the old offensive coordinator.
He used to drink wine before the game.
Yeah, we're going to the airport. Blake, you remember that? You, me, and Lenny Walterscheid driving that interstate, and you pull up right behind him when we could watch him. It's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to the airplane to fly to Washington, God knows where. And we see the bottle of, you know, it's got a bag on it. He's drinking wine out of
like
a bottle.
Like a wino.
And his
great.
Wife was, he was like 5'7", and his wife was like 6 foot. You can't make this stuff up. It's the same feel I get when I'm watching John Fox on the sideline.
That's hilarious. Do the Bears win today, Doug Plank?
You know, I think the first 5 minutes are going to tell you the whole story. Honestly, they could win. They should win. But I've never had a start that they have right now. There were a few times, you know, we were 3-5, the Bears, you know, coming out of the beginning of the season. But there's something about being in such a hole to begin the season with. I mean, you have to fight like crazy. I mean, every game is a fight, but, you know, you lose those games early. Unfortunately, it does set a tone for the rest of the season. And unfortunately, even with the addition of a new quarterback, I think they got their work cut out for him.
Hamp, Bears win?
I think they do. And I'll tell you why. This is not the Baltimore team we all remember. Flacco, you know, he's had a lame season. He had 10 straight games of throwing at least one interception up until last week. They jumped on the Raiders early and got ahead. We need to get ahead of somebody. We need to put up, you know, a touchdown, 10-point lead, run the ball, lather up Jordan Howard, get Benny Cunningham in, and put the kid Cohen in the slot. Let him run speed sweeps and stuff like that. You know, this offense can be effective, but as you just mentioned 8 minutes ago, Doug, it's about coaching and being prepared. Let's see if they are.
Yes, yes. You know, honestly, it's amazing to me sometimes when they start tweaking the game plan. Let's say something happens during the course of the game where all of a sudden they need points to be put on the board quickly, and it's amazing how all that happens. Well, why weren't you calling those plays to begin with?
Yeah.
You know, why did we start out with these dive plays and these ridiculous calls? And just like Dan was saying, certain situations – you know, it's whether you're going to man up or not. You're in the National Football League. You're not in the Pee Wee League. You're not trying to call plays that are going to make you look good in case whether they work or they don't work. Sometimes I just wish coaches would, you know, just step out and say, listen, man, this is on me, and here's the direction we're going to go. I promise you that the players would follow those coaches. When those coaches get up there and they start mealy-mousing around in front of the team, the players can see right through them.
Yep.
And I think that's really that lack of trust and confidence between the players and the coaches so many times are the demise of most teams.
So true. Hamp?
Hey, one last thing. You know, last week, Trubisky was so undermined by his teammates. I talked about it over on Fox Pre. I said, hey, rally around this guy. Play a clean game. Play a clean game. Do not commit penalty. Well, between the drops and the penalties, there were 11 different negative yardage plays in the first half alone.
It was brutal.
The kid started off 9 of 11 for 90 yards, and they were moving until the inevitable drag down of the busted assignments and penalties. It's almost mind-boggling how, you know, it's like a little kid gets a beautiful toy for Christmas, and by dark, you know, the thing is wrecked. It's like we're doing everything we can to wreck this kid before he even gets a chance to start. Hopefully today, the conga line of stumble bombs won't undermine him.
I love it.
It's exciting to watch Trubisky, though, because I always want to see what's going to happen with him.
Right.
So, Doug, Dan, Chicago in through and through. Grew up, go after church, come home, watch you guys play. I feel like you played during the Honey Bear era. If we bring the Honey Bears back, do you think that's going to improve the overall play? Of the, it just kind of changes the mojo.
I defer to Mr. Plank.
Doug?
Listen, let me tell you, I have no personal stories of the Honey Bear. Let's get that out there.
They were focused.
Of course they were.
You know what? I guess here's what I'm saying. I grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and you know, sometimes you just kind of take on the moniker of the team that you're cheering for, the Steelers, whatever the case. They never had cheerleaders. And to me, I don't know, sometimes, you know, to me, it seemed like it was a dating service for the players.
Oh.
And I think there's so many underlying stories. I think what happened eventually was, and this is the way I was told, our general manager, Jim Finks, had a contingent of wives that came into his office and demanded the end of the Honey
Bear. Oh, I never knew.
Any of the stories or any of the hot tub parties that took place, but I think that was the beginning of the end for the Chicago Bear Hot Tub.
Wow. Hot tub parties ended it all.
I'm just a big cheerleader and fan. I thought that was fun. Yeah. I didn't know about the hot
There's
tub parties.
The Number 46, Doug Plank. Doug, you're the best. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Love you, Planker.
What to win. Thank you, Danny.
By the way, I think the Fridgettes found the end way too soon. Remember them? They were the 200-pounders.
Oh, yeah, the Fridgettes.
The Fridgettes.
Yeah,
definitely.
That ended way too soon.
How
yeah.
often do you see these guys? Like, Plank comes to town, maybe...
Yeah, golf tournament.
Yeah,
here,
a few times a year.
Or there. But, you know, when I was a rookie, it was funny. When I was in college, I'd really admired a safety. There was old, and he was like my mentor kind. Well, when I got here, Plank and Fencic, and a guy named Lenny Walterscheid, became those three guys were the safeties, and I really kind of they showed us the ropes, and they're wonderful guys, real stable guys, wasn't crazy guys, party guys. They were just wonderful teammates and true professionals. And you know, last spring, Lenny Walterscheid flew in from Denver. He had to take a plane from Grand Junction to Denver, then Denver to Chicago O'Hare, and then he got in the truck with me, and we drove down to see Buddy, right before Buddy.
Oh, you
know,
told me
away.
This story, yeah.
Yeah. And it was like old times, you know. Fencic, we picked Gary up. He flew into Louisville, and anyway, we were missing Plank, and we called him on the way back just to tell him, you know, how we had been down to see Buddy. But it was like going back in time almost 40 years, because those were the guys that I hung out with and I looked up to the most.
That's when you know you have good friends, where you can pick up right where you left off. I love it. After the game, Ham, thanks for coming in.
Wait, I have a question. Dan, you're here now for the duration of the game. Does WGN have a nice cushy chair for you to watch the game in? Like, you got to watch
he
this.
He barely
he's
sits
jumping
down.
On the air
I've
at
seen
three.
It.
I well, told you, it's imperative I get up to the conference room and prepare for His Majesty, Ed Obradovich. He'll be making his way in at any moment. When you hear the cornets going off,
really?
That'll be him coming up the elevator.
Little Dan, thanks for coming in, man. Tell everybody where you play football.
Hinsdale South. I'm a Hornet.
You're a Hornet.
Go Hornets.
And he's 14 years old, and he's 6'1". He's taller than me.
Whew.
Wow. Carm, are you ready for this after the game?
I always... go into like a closet for an hour and then I come out and I'm ready to go. I haven't gotten to my closet.
You don't know. I've done the show before, so you don't know if Hamp is angry to the Bears or if he's going to come over and just punch you in the neck.
That's what makes it fun. I mean, it keeps me right there.
Keeps you on your toes.
Ready to go.
I like it. It's 720 WGN.